Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Arnold Alderman. He's a power industry analyst that works with Anagenesis, and we're going to talk today about IP and IP protection. So hi, Arnold. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, you know, everybody obviously is talking about IP from a point of you've got to have IP. IP is critical. You know, the only difference between one company and another is the IP, because you can make just about anything from anywhere. So the value is in the IP. But is IP that critical to the designer at this point for protection, or is it something that's just a worry downstream?
Alex, it's very important to the designer, to the company, to the marketing people. The growth of IP has just been incredible over the past few years. And last year, for instance, there was almost 600,000 applications for patents in the U.S., and 50% of those were foreign.
Wow.
Not only that, but the number of patents actually awarded was about half that number. 275,000 were granted by the U.S. Patent and Trade Office. So the growth is on a yearly basis has increased almost 5% every year. In 2005, it had a spectacular growth of 9.3%.
Do you see that trend continuing, or is it like basically almost impossible to tell, or are there indicators out there?
It's continuing to grow at a rate of at least 4.8%, and there's new players that are coming into the picture every day.
That's a very good point, Arnold. Now, what about the top generators? Who are the people who are pushing this the most right now?
Well, as you would expect, Alex, the big ones are well-known. IBM came in 2012 with over 6,000 patents. Samsung was second with 5,000. Canon and Sony both were at 3,000, and the list goes on.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, it does make sense, obviously, that the big guys would be doing it, but there's obviously a lot of work at the low levels. It's just they have a lower volume, but that quantity doesn't necessarily translate to quality, right?
That's exactly right. Some of the key patents have led to whole new industries, and we've seen that with the recent Empyrean patents leading to a power supply on a chip.
Very good point, Arnold. Very good point. Now, when you think about the landscape of IP, are there any sources, anything that can help you get a handle on it?
One of the best sources that I've discovered, Alex, is IEEE. IEEE has a scorecard for the patents that, of course, are of concern and interest to the electronics industry. And so if you go on the IEEE website and look for their scorecard, you will see the patents rated for a number of different values.
Oh, that's very interesting. Now, how have has the process changed a lot recently? Has it been incremental change? What's been going on? I mean, there's a lot of buzz on and off in the news about the issues with patent law, but what's really going on out there?
Well, there's a couple things, Alex, that I think our listeners ought to be aware of. The first one being that although it takes several years to get a patent, there is a short you know, there's a shortcut to a patent. If you're 65 years and older, and you can get your patent awarded, reviewed and awarded within a year. So that's something for the older engineers to remember. The second is that the patent laws have been recently revised in a major way. And that way is that in previously it was always who invented first got the award for the patent. That is no longer the case. Now it is who files first for the technology, they're the ones that get the patent.
So even if you did it previously in, let's say, the old school thing, mailed yourself a picture of it or something, if you didn't file, it didn't happen.
That's correct.
Oh, that's interesting as well, because that's something that a lot of designers should definitely take heed to. Almost the second thing you do in your project, instead of considering what power requirements there are, you should fill out your paperwork. So the first step is create idea. Second step, file patent. Third step, determine how much power is needed for the application.
Yes, that's correct. And, of course, Alex, the first step to getting a patent is filling out the patent application. And you have up to a year in which to actually apply for the patent officially.
Now,
so there's a pre-process there.
Right. I got you. Now, Arnold, is IP more vulnerable? Is it always been an issue? Is it just more dangerous now because we're more aware of it? Or are there just things that make it more dangerous now?
Well, it's always been vulnerable. I think I often think of the television patent and how that was awarded, and also the laser patent, which was in litigation for over 10 years. But today, IP is even more vulnerable. The IP is, patents are omnipresent within our industry. Leading edge technologies are always there, and that's how, we get ahead. And therefore, anybody that has intellectual property has to keep a constant vigil against, infringement, against somebody finding out about it, and also, knowing the value of it and possibly licensing it. Many companies have a very solid revenue stream when they with their licensing business.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. That really does, because even in the case of honest parallel development, you want to be the first on the racetrack to cross the line, right?
That's correct, and it's important to maintain that leadership. So, patents follow patents.
Well, that's true. Now, obviously, then, if you're in the leading edge technology space, you're constantly involved with IP, either writing it up, defending it, developing it, whatever.
That's correct. The ownership or the owner of intellectual property is either defending or fighting off infringement litigation. And this applies not only to the large companies, multinational corporations, but also the embryonic companies. And, of course, the embryonic companies are very vulnerable because they don't have a very large revenue source to fight off any kind of litigation that's going on.
Well, that's true, because in the embryonic companies, it's even more critical for them, because often their entire business model hinges off of one idea.
That's correct. And the large companies need to know what the value is of their IP.
That's a good point as well.
Recently, Nortel sold off their intellectual property, and it was over a billion-dollar transaction.
Well, that's definitely not small change. It definitely demonstrates the power of the IP. Now, so let's say I'm involved with all of this. What kind of help do I really need? I mean, where can I go? Who can give me some information?
Well, there are companies in the industry that have grown up in the past 20 to 30 years. Most of them in the last 20 years. And what they do is they conduct analysis on chips. They conduct analysis on assemblies. They do research at the patent level. They also do research on prior art. If you do all this work internally, then you have to have staff devoted to it. Mm-hmm. However, if you outsource it, then that takes, you know, the load off your people so they can focus on generating more IP and products, which is really their job.
That's a very good point as well. Now, obviously, we don't have the time to go over all of the entire IP landscape. We've had a really good opening chat on the issue. We're going to bring you back for a second part on this. What are we going to talk about? What would you like to talk about? Where are we going to go with this?
Well, what I'd like to talk about next, Alex, is the role that these companies play, these companies that you outsource your work to. You know, how can they help you analyze your intellectual property, infringing technology? How do you analyze that? And how do you keep abreast of all everything that's going on in globally? Because, infringement can occur anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's also a very good point, Arnold. Well, hey, before we close out the episode, are there any last thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yes, I would. Intellectual property is the basis of companies that have a very strong technical staff and have developed new ideas, and it's important to defend that IP, to know the value of it, and to know where to get help to defend and grow your IP portfolio.
Very good point. Well, hey, Arnold, thank you very much. The whole issue of IP is very critical to the industry on a top level and at a bottom level. So we're glad to have you by, and we'll bring you back next week, and we'll continue this conversation.
I'm looking forward to it, Alex.
Thanks. So am I. So thank you, Arnold, and I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paul for Paul Ton Power. Have a great day.